Aloha, and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. Join us today along with co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. As you hear the gripping stories today from our special guests, we invite you to call us at 296-5467. Again, that's 296-5467. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Just leave it to me. I need you, Lord. Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. My co-host, Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva are out of the studio today. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Bob Stone said, "If you work in government, you'll see things that need doing. You can choose to stay out of trouble, or you can ask yourself, if not me, who? Certain people stand out from the crowd because of their courage to take on the biggest problems that challenge the largest amounts of people. These are many of our political leaders. We have one of those special people with us as our featured guest today. I also want you to know that as we broadcast our show on a regular basis, it's because we believe that God has given us a privilege to lead people closer to Jesus Christ. And in the midst of times of change and challenge and even crisis, God can be there to uphold you, to lift you, to strengthen you. Senator Norman Sakamoto is our guest today. He attended Palolo Elementary School, University Lab School. He graduated from the University of Hawaii with a Bachelor of Science degree and the University of Illinois in Champaign, Illinois, with a Master of Science degree. In 1985, he formed SC Pacific Corporation. He's married to Penny. They have three children, David, Greg, and Catherine. As a member of the Democratic Party, he serves as Hawaii Senatorial District 15, which represents from Pearl Ridge to Kalihi, from Halawa to Lower Aiea and Aliamanu and Hickam. Senator Sakamoto is the chairman of the Senate Education Committee. He's been actively involved in extensive leadership roles in education, community groups, professional boards and associations, along with being a faithful member of Moanalua Gardens Missionary Church. He's running for lieutenant governor in this upcoming election. Senator Sakamoto, welcome to our show.
Hi, Danny.
Senator, you know, as we start off, the highlights... Really, a highlight in the newspaper today, headlines. The Honolulu Advertiser said, "Furlough Friday's over." Now, as chairman of the Senate Education Committee, I know a lot of people are asking, you know, why did it take so long?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, Danny, thankfully, you know, the last day of school, and yes, furlough Fridays are done. So going forward next year, full school year, instructional days, fully there. Thankfully, the teachers, the Board of Education, Department of Education, the governor and her team have agreed to go forward. So first, thank you very much to all those involved that we can start next year back to where we need
this
to be.
This is really a point of celebration.
Yes.
We can move forward.
Yes. So always in a football game, in a baseball game, in any contest, you say, how could we have done better? So your question was, how could we have done better? Yeah. I think when people can build relationships with each other as early as possible, and using sports as another thing. You can pull an all-star team together with excellent players, but they may lose every game mm-hmm. unless the teammates trust each other, the teammates have confidence in each other, and will play well together. So similarly, in politics, in business, and in this specific case, on the furlough resolution issue, the teammates, in retrospect, if they had more trust in each other, were willing to play in a collaborative way sooner, perhaps the solution could have come sooner. But we're here. We've gone past that. But really working together, trusting each other, would have helped.
So it's a matter of collaboration, it sounds like the higher level of trust. And, you know, isn't that something that you try to do? You try to take an issue, a challenge, bring it to a point of debate and discussion, and then it has to be, at some point, be brought to action, right?
Well, I'm a civil engineer. You've stated my background in mm-hmm. and I'm a building contractor. That's how we do our work. But if we're building your house, you've hired an architect, he's hired engineers, there's plumbers, electricians, and some of those people on the team were chosen by the owner or chosen by other people. And as the building contractor, I show up doing the job, but we'll all be happy the quicker we can understand each other, work mm-hmm. together, even though we haven't known each other for a long time, pull it together. Same thing in politics. If there are difficult issues that we have to deal with in education, in health, the sooner you can get people around the table to thoughtfully say, here's option A, here are some reasons why it's a good thing, here are some reasons why it's problematic, what about option B? Here's some problems, here's some good things. And if you can thoughtfully go through a process and honestly share on the table mm-hmm. versus after the meeting closes, oh, why didn't you say that? Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. So relationship building, it's key. And thank God that's a skill set that I've developed mm-hmm. In my 30 years of being a building contractor. And I hope to continue to use that skill set to help solve our problems for our people.
You know, as we look at the future, you know, as an individual, you know, I mentioned a little bit about your education, but tell us a little bit about your growing up years.
Grew up in Palolo Valley. My mother was a fourth grade teacher. My father was a contractor. Mm-hmm. And I remember him stooped over his desk Sundays and sometimes after church. We'd go out to a job site, if it was concrete, with the water hose shooting the water on the roof. Back then, water was used to cure the concrete, per se. Other times, because my mom was a fourth grade teacher, I'd be sitting in her classroom on the weekend or after school as she worked on her lesson plans. And good things, though. In Palolo, we lived in an area called Carlos Long, went to Palolo Elementary School. You know, playing in the stream, walking home. Those are good times.
You know, did you have, you know, ambitions as a boy to be a business owner?
Not at that time. Although my dad was, and I could see him working hard at it. When we're young, or at least when I was young, it was finish the grade you're in school, go to the next grade. Ultimately, fast forward to high school, mm-hmm. I went to University High School.
Okay.
And I remember taking an aptitude test, and the counselor said, you could be an actuary or an engineer. And I said, what's an actuary? And she must have explained what it was, and it wasn't clear to me. So I said, okay, I'll be an engineer. And my dad was an engineer. So in our lives, if there's role models to follow, mm-hmm. I was fortunate to be able to have my dad as a role model I could follow.
Now, you know, as you grew up, you graduated, then you went to college, and now you started with your family business too, right? Before SC Pacific.
Right. So after finishing school at the University of Illinois, I went to work for the City of Los Angeles, the Corps of Engineers in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Got my civil engineer's license in California. When we relocated back, my wife and I went to work for S&M Sakamoto. So my dad was the S, my uncle the M in the family construction business. So worked there a number of years.
So that's how you really cut your teeth, not only in the trade itself, but the trade of business ownership.
Right. In a small business, you get to see soup to nuts. Growing up, prior to coming back full time, summers you're in the ditch, you know, shoveling dirt out, half falling back on you, mm-hmm. carrying 4x4 lumber out from under a building, looking for going as a gopher, picking up material in the office. At that time, pre-computers, you had these calculators that made noise, and you had yellow sheets of paper to write on and calculating the payroll, calculating taxes, looking for why it's 1 cent off. So I was fortunate to grow up and have an opportunity to be mentored in a family business.
Now, so all this is happening right before you you began your career, excuse me, in politics.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel this experience has helped you and will continue to help you to serve the broader community?
Before I answer that directly, let me say, in 1994, I was president of the Building Industry Association, which are contractors, bank people, insurance people. And we had a challenge that at the rates for workers' compensation insurance, when people get hurt, we need to pay the medical and the time off. The insurance rates were just going through the roof. So some of us went to the legislature going, you know, senator, representative, mm-hmm. we need help. In the process, some people, we were getting very frustrated because we felt some of the members of the legislature, their staff, didn't understand business, particularly small business. So someone said, well, why don't one of you run for office? And we'd go around the circle. What about you, Danny? Oh, not me. What about you, Bob? No, not me. What about you, Audrey? No, not me. And I decided at that time, yes, we need more people in government, in the legislature, that understand small business. So I said, I will run. And fortunately, the people supported me. So in 1996, I was elected to the state senate. But that business of understanding about hiring people, firing people, calculating the payroll, calculating unemployment insurance, understanding the ups and downs of collecting your receivables, writing off when they don't pay you, it's a bad debt, and on and on. Mm. It's not easy in construction. Jobs end on Friday, walking up to somebody with an envelope. They know it's their last paycheck, and you just have to tell them, sorry, we can't keep you on. And many of them expect it, but it's not a good time when you have to lay someone off. And it's not a good time when you struggle with dealing with all what business owners have to deal with. But I feel that experience has equipped me with an ability to see the broader picture of business as well as the employee side of it. Mm-hmm. We need both. We need good employees. We need good businesses. We cannot survive in an economy with only one side of the equation.
You know, just listening, it sounds like a very grassroots type of experience. It's the small business owner, the entrepreneurialism required, the creativity required, the internal constitution that is necessary, the mental toughness, the negotiating, the social skills, all those things come to bear. And then the stick-to-itiveness, the perseverance in the midst of that.
It's an up and down industry, construction. And so thankfully, starting with the family company and then transitioning off to form a smaller company, we were able to survive the ups and downs. And there are just as many ups as downs. That's the business cycle.
Well, as you're listening to Senator Norman Sakamoto, candidate for lieutenant governor, I want you to just process a little bit some of what we're talking about in the context and the frame of the realities of everyday life. Because today, if you're feeling, and sometimes we all go through that, when we're faced with a challenge, we become ingrown and we feel isolated, like how we're the only ones that have to face that reality. Whether it's receiving that last check or being the one who has to give that check or make a decision because of economic circumstances. And more than that, it could relate in family relationships, with children. Life can be very, very tough. But that's why we're here, because we believe that there is always hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things, Senator Sakamoto, I want to ask him when we come back. That's why I want you to stay with us. Hang in there. Stay with us. He's going to share a little bit with us about how his faith has made a difference in his career, both as a businessman and as a political leader. And as we go along, we'll talk even further about some highlights, some challenges, and the race for Lieutenant Governor. But I want you to stay with us. We're going to be right back with Senator Norman Sakamoto. And remember, our phone lines are open for questions and comments, 296-5467. And you can always contact me via email at danny@thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii is one word, danny@thegoodlifehawaii.org. And visit me on Facebook. We'll be in touch that way. But stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ever hoped God would use you as a missionary, but your life situation didn't allow it? Here's Stephen Lathrop Lee, Executive Director of Jesus Christ is Calling You and Director of JCCY's Paradise Global Mission.
In Paradise Global Mission, we exist to serve churches and Christ followers who are called to the mission field, but cannot commit long term. If you ever wonder, can God use me? The answer is yes. Paradise Global Mission teams are known for having long-term impact through short-term missions. God can and will use you. I invite you to find out more about opportunities to join a Paradise Global Mission team in China, Uganda, Brazil, Dominican Republic, Thailand, and Japan. Take a step of faith today.
Paradise Global Mission specializes in creating unforgettable short-term mission experiences. Receive training. Make memories that will last a lifetime. Touch people for eternity in Jesus' name.
Call Stephen at 330-5524. That's 330-5524.
A door to your dream is now open. The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro.
Disney World was the dream of Walt Disney, who died in 1966. In 1971, just before its grand opening in Florida, Mrs. Lily Disney stood at the entrance of Disney World. An executive nearby stated, "It's too bad Walt isn't here to see this." To that, Mrs. Disney said, "Ah, he did see it. That's why it's here." Someone once asked Helen Keller, "What's worse than being blind?" She answered, "Having sight with no vision." You may be able to see with your eyes, but is there vision in your heart? Your vision will keep you on course, especially during tough times. Former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher once said, "You may have to fight a battle more than once to win it." I'm Danny Yamashiro, enriching you with The Good Life.
To receive more inspiration and insights from Danny Yamashiro, visit DannyYamashiro.com. This ad is brought to you by select corporate sponsors who care about you. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. We're here with Senator Norman Sakamoto. Before our break, he was sharing with us about the trials as well as the joys and sorrows of running and owning a small business and how that compelled him through a series of events to go into politics. And he's been in politics for many, many years now. Senator, tell us about your faith and how your faith relates to what you're doing.
Well, I've been in office 14 years, and faith-wise, I remember going to Sunday school with my parents way back. At that time, they were going to Church of the Crossroads and sitting in the Sunday school. Then I remember at Palolo Methodist Church, as I was a teenager, we get involved with youth programs. So I would walk to the church there. My parents were going, I believe, either to Crossroads or maybe Nuano Congregational by that time. And I remember standing in front of one of the pastors, and he was saying to me, "You sure you want to be baptized? Do you know what this means?" And I was a teenager, and I said, "Oh, yes." And he baptized me. In retrospect, I guess I was saying the right thing. And as years went, I started to go to the University of Hawaii. And I remember in religion class, there was the professor speaking about God is dead. And I was a sponge back then, academic sponge. So authority figure says, God is dead. And in my brain, it goes in, okay, God is dead. We're here to discuss different philosophies. And later I remember my mom telling me, she's now passed away, but she said when I came home and proclaimed that to her, she was just stunned. But she didn't, I don't remember the event, but she later related that to me. And fast forward, so my wife and I went through our sort of college years, years in Los Angeles years, not attending any church, sort of drifting faithless, moving ahead in my job, in career. And after we came back to Hawaii, we felt, well, the children need Sunday school. So we lived in Mauna Loa at the time, started sending the children to Mauna Loa Gardens, a missionary church Sunday school. But I still was adrift, so to speak. And I was looking for fulfillment in my life. And one of the things that started in the 80s was marathoning. So you go and run. One of my friends got me into triathlon, so swim, bike, run. And that became sort of a religion. Sunday morning was not going to a place of worship. It was going to Alamana Park, swim, get on the bicycle, bike, then run. And then a few years went by and someone talked to me about, there's this seminar. They'll be good for you, improve your life, so forth. And it was one of the experiential seminars where you come, you deal with all the baggage you have. And I did go. And again, I was still a sponge for authority figure says something, we do it. There's a good and bad. The good part of it, it gave me and others an opportunity to deal with the baggage we all carry around. We all carry around perhaps anger from with our siblings, with our parents, blame for other people. So there was an opportunity to deal with some of that. But at the end of it, it was, okay, my backpack is lighter because I dealt with some of what I was carrying around. And I went to another seminar in the series, and I'm sitting there in a small group. We have our eyes closed. We have our hands out. And I don't remember what the seminar leader was saying, but in my head I heard, Jesus is the answer. And in my head I'm saying back, well, what was the question? And that repeated two or three times in my head. So then that sort of was a life-turning moment for me, in that I was being open to what is it in life that I'm missing? How can I be a better person? How do I be more fulfilled? And fast forward a few months from then, after then looking at the Bible, looking at, well, what does that mean? Jesus is the answer. I'm at First Assembly Church, Red Hill, walking forward to the altar in an altar call. Wow. So I had a background of Sunday school. Mm-hmm. I had stood in front of a pastor and said, yes. But ultimately, the deeper, more personal yes was based on that transition from Jesus is the answer to a step of faith for me, and life has changed.
Now, you know, the relatability of it, faith in Jesus, how has that made a difference in your life as a father, as a husband, as a business owner, now as a political leader? How has that made a difference for you, Senator?
I wish I could say that all of my successes were based on my faith, but that wouldn't be true, because through my life, I've been able to do things absent a deep faith. But first, I believe, in spite of my lacking a personal faith, one of the clear things I remember when I visited our grandma in Kona — my parents were born in Kona, we'd go every summer — she'd be sitting in the kitchen table with a black covered Bible open every time we visited her, every morning. So I believe her prayers, my mother's prayers, helped me in spite of my being adrift. Fast forward to now, I would have hoped that I could have prayed and supported my children as a godly man from when they were born, and sadly that wasn't the case. But now, certainly pray for my children every day, pray for my wife every day. Thankfully, my wife and I get to pray together. And part of the journey is, how do we better understand what God has to say to us? Today, reading in part of Job, Job lost everything in his life, and his friends, or so-called friends, were critiquing him, saying, you must have done this, you must have done that. And he is in this dilemma. But ultimately, I don't want to be, we don't want to be in the position Job was. But part of what it brings back is, in the end, we do want to do what is right. We do want wisdom to do what is right. And in that message for me today, in reading part of Job, it's, what is it God wants me to do today? And help me understand, okay, Sakamoto, you need to deal with this unfinished business. You need to go forward. You need to prayfully do this. So two messages came to me as I was studying one part of the scripture today.
You know, it's a very special thing, Senator, to even to have a extended dialogue. I mean, it's, you know, we live in a world of sound bites, and you know, we're live, so it's like it's not an edited thing. You know, you're just speaking right out of your heart with these questions, and our listeners hear. Our listeners hear your heart and where you're coming from. Now, we talk about your faith, as we you mentioned to us about how you got into politics. You know, there are a number of things that happened in your political career that have been real highlights, and I want to showcase some of those things. I'd like for you to share some of those things that you've seen, that you've been a part of, that you've spearheaded and seen through, that bring us to where we are right now. But I want to take a break and just have some time to give our listeners an opportunity to respond. Senator Norman Sakamoto is our guest today. We started our show, we talked about Furlough Fridays. It's over. And it's time to celebrate and not only look in the past. He talked about where he grew up. When we come back, we'll talk about some highlights. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Aimlessly beneath a barren sky,
leave it to me. I lead you on.
Ever hoped God would use you as a missionary, but your life situation didn't allow it? Here's Stephen Lathrop Lee, Executive Director of Jesus Christ is Calling You and Director of JCCY's Paradise Global Mission.
In Paradise Global Mission, we exist to serve churches and Christ followers who are called to the mission field, but cannot commit long term. If you ever wonder, can God use me? The answer is yes. Paradise Global Mission teams are known for having long-term impact through short-term missions. God can and will use you. I invite you to find out more about opportunities to join a Paradise Global Mission team in China, Uganda, Brazil, Dominican Republic, Thailand, and Japan. Take a step of faith today.
Paradise Global Mission specializes in creating unforgettable short-term mission experiences. Receive training. Make memories that will last a lifetime. Touch people for eternity in Jesus' name.
Call Stephen at 330-5524. That's 330-5524.
A door to your dream is now open. The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro.
During World War I, two promising and highly regarded captains happened to be commanding adjacent units on the front. They walked out in front of their troops toward each other, saluted, shook hands, removed their helmets, and began a conversation. The Germans began a walking artillery barrage, which came closer to the captains. Rather than backing down, suggesting they put on their helmets and rush back to their trenches, both stood there calmly, conversing while artillery rained down around them. They weren't hit. Their names were Patton and MacArthur, two leaders who built enormous reputations of displaying courage at critical moments. You can too. Your moment may be today. I'm Danny Yamashiro, enriching you with The Good Life.
To receive more inspiration and insights from Danny Yamashiro, visit DannyYamashiro.com. This ad is brought to you by select corporate sponsors who care about you. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. Master Sergeant Cambry and Leslie Silva are out of the studio today, but we're here with our very special guest today, Senator Norman Sakamoto. You know, a lot has been happening in the political world these days in the islands. I mean, just, you know, national news, Charles DeJoo winning this the vacant seat. There's been a lot of talk, particularly in the Democratic Party, about the candidates. But just generally speaking, Senator, you know, your take on things as they are now, in relation to and in the perspective of how things are in Hawaii.
Well, Danny, some people tell me, knowing that I'm a Democrat, they tell me, well, why doesn't the party just choose one person? But the reality is there is no one guru that says, I am the party and this is who I anoint. I think people run. I think for Hawaii, we've evolved to a point where good candidates need to show up. The voters need to pay attention, not just to the 30-second message on TV, and need to thoughtfully choose who would be best for Hawaii, not just because they happen to be a particular party. Although I'm a Democrat, I'm not trying to speak against the party system per se, but the voters have grown up to choose the best person, and we hope every position, and good people need to show up and be willing to put themselves out and run for office.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're in the middle of everything. You're really in the thick of things. You've been in the thick of things. There have been some challenges along the way that you've had to tackle, but then there's been some highlights. What are some of the highlights that you've had in your career so far?
Well, I currently chair the Committee on Education and Housing, and for 10 years I've been chairing the Education Committee. Sometimes it was with higher education, K-12 education, and also includes preschool. One of the challenges back then, if we remember back, gutters were falling off roofs in the public schools. You know, the landscaping was just terrible. Potholes in the parking lot, leaky corridors. So I asked the question, being a contractor and engineer, well, what's the total number of dollars to repair all of this? And mm-hmm. at the specific time I was asking, the Department of Accounting General Service didn't have an answer. In other words, it's a long list. Why are you even asking? We're not even going to get close to finishing this list.
Mm-hmm.
But by a thoughtful process, we said, well, if we can identify what it is, the backlog of repairs, and they said later it was close to $800 million, we can thoughtfully work down to get to a manageable number. So one of the highlights was not passing one measure, but incrementally working over time to get the backlog down, $640 million, 525, 415. Now it's in the neighborhood of 300 million. And I believe if we can cut that in half, we'll be close to a point where it's reasonable to expect $75 million a year of projects added to the backlog. It takes some time to investigate, design, construct, get it off. But so one of the highlights over the longer term was getting the repair and maintenance backlog down. So our schools look much better than they were before. Another thing that we passed was this Reinvention of Education Act in 2004. Prior to that passing, schools had what we call a staffing formula. A principal, you get one vice principal. You get another vice principal if you have so many students, 550 students. You have so many more students, you get another vice principal. Staffing versus student need versus needs of the community. Part of that initiative was to say 70% of the dollars should go to the school in terms of directly to the school. The principal said, well, some of that money, they would rather have the department continue to divide up school lunch money, bus fare money, electrical money. But they ended up with having close to 40% of the dollars that Farrington High School, Catherine Payne, her school community council, Waihole Elementary School, their principal, their school community council could use those dollars. So it was changing the chemistry of how targeted dollars to be used. So those are two things. Going forward, an important thing is how we elect our Board of Education.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, mm-hmm. at least myself and maybe many of the listeners, the week before the election, you get the insert, who's running for office. You have little thumbnail pictures and thumbnail sketches.
Whose name do I know best?
Yeah.
You know, most familiar.
Yeah. So the proposal now would be allowing the governor to appoint from a list that's sort of vetted through a committee of perhaps seven people that takes nominations, seeks nominations, and says, Governor, we've vetted these people, we've interviewed them. Pick from a select list.
Now, is that how is that related to the Board of Regents, say like at University of Hawaii?
That's a very good question, Danny. So the process we envision would be like how the process is now. Mm. Prior to that, the Board of Regents was a straight gubernatorial appointment. And we, the voters, said change that process instead of the governor just picking someone he or she likes or someone who just said pick me, to having a nomination committee select and screen nominees. So it would be similar should the voters vote in favor.
You know, with your experience, and I know this is, we're just talking, these are highlights, there's so much more. I mean, we could spend so much more time on some of the key milestones. But someone might ask, why not just stay as the Senate chair of education and housing? Why run for lieutenant governor?
Many people have asked me that. It's frustrating sitting on the sideline and seeing perhaps there are better ways to do parts of government. Take the furloughs. That is not, we funded the money, but curing it depended on the executive branch working with the labor unions, working with the Department of Education, Board of Education. There are other issues that the executive branch deals with, proposing the budget, releasing money. In one specific case, over a thoughtful process, we passed a measure called the Early Learning Council for early education, preschool.
Mm-hmm.
Public, private, the sit-down preschools, the the Family Child Interactive, Hawaiian early learning programs, Department of Health, Department of Human Services, put them together. They agreed to be an early learning council, and we funded $230,000 to have that be efficiently work, call meetings, people can fly in from the neighbor islands, etc. The governor thus far hasn't released the dollars. So a very good initiative for the keiki, the youngest. So again, we get frustrated. I get very frustrated when the administration, legislature, the community aren't working together. So I am tired of sitting on the sidelines. I'd rather take that opportunity. My kids are, two are in Hawaii. Our daughter's still in the mainland. We want Keiki Okaina at least to have excellent opportunities to come here and have excellent jobs, mm-hmm. not feel that they have to stay in New York, San Diego, wherever.
You know, to talk to somebody who is not only ambitious and desirous of creating positive change for the land in which we live, but someone who's actually in a position to do it and is seeking a broader platform from which to facilitate positive change is a real special thing. And we're here with Senator Norman Sakamoto. He's a candidate for lieutenant governor. When we come back, we're going to hear from Senator about what he looks forward to, the challenges that he'll face as lieutenant governor, and some of the ideas he has of what he would do about it. And then something from the heart. What would he say to someone facing a challenge right now? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Ever hoped God would use you as a missionary, but your life situation didn't allow it? Here's Stephen Lathrop Lee, Executive Director of Jesus Christ is Calling You and Director of JCCY's Paradise Global Mission.
In Paradise Global Mission, we exist to serve churches and Christ followers who are called to the mission field, but cannot commit long term. If you ever wonder, can God use me? The answer is yes. Paradise Global Mission teams are known for having long-term impact through short-term missions. God can and will use you. I invite you to find out more about opportunities to join a Paradise Global Mission team in China, Uganda, Brazil, Dominican Republic, Thailand, and Japan. Take a step of faith today.
Paradise Global Mission specializes in creating unforgettable short-term mission experiences. Receive training. Make memories that will last a lifetime. Touch people for eternity in Jesus' name.
Call Stephen at 330-5524. That's 330-5524.
A door to your dream is now open. The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro.
On May 26, 1626, Manhattan Island, known today as New York City, was sold by the Algonquin Indians to Peter Minuit of the Dutch West India Company. The price? $24 in beads and trinkets. Some feel the Indians got a bad deal. Yet, if the Indians invested that money for an 8% annual return, that same $24 would be worth more than $27 trillion today. They could buy Manhattan back and have money left over. The issue was not the money. What counted was the plan for the money. What plan do you have for the resources you possess? Whether you're buying or selling, how will what you do today help get you where you want to be? I'm Danny Yamashiro, enriching you with The Good Life.
To receive more inspiration and insights from Danny Yamashiro, visit DannyYamashiro.com. This ad is brought to you by select corporate sponsors who care about you. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with our featured guest today, Senator Norman Sakamoto, candidate for Lieutenant Governor. Before our break, we talked about some important things in relation to some highlights, but also now, what is he looking forward to doing, given the opportunity to be Lieutenant Governor? You know, a program like this would not be possible if it wasn't for some very generous sponsors with a heart for listeners like you to make this available, like Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Waiawa dentist. Generous donations from orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1 electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Birch Unical, right here on School Street, and Michael Beasley of Kayani. And to hear more programs like these, go to www.thegoodlifehawaii.org, thegoodlifehawaii.org, and you can email me at danny@thegoodlifehawaii.org. And of course, our phone lines, 296-5467. Senator, as we move forward, what are some changes that you would like to see as we move forward in Hawaii as Lieutenant Governor?
There's so many things that one could say, but I'll say this. It's easy for everyone to say, why don't we have energy independence, for example? Easy to say that. Let's have all renewable. The challenge is getting there. So I would like to say, for me, the skill set I have as an engineer, building contractor, we didn't build a four-story building in a day, mm-hmm. but you had to do it incrementally. Let's get beyond the vision of building a four-story building, thoughtfully do the foundation, build from the ground up, energy independence. The building work has started, but oftentimes there's distractions in the process. But mm-hmm. we as a community, if we work together, how do we get geothermal to be part of it? How do we get solar, wind, and deal with the community concerns? Lanai may not like wind. Okay, what can we do? Hmm. A Big Island geothermal is there. Work more thoughtfully with the people there. Mr. Ha on the Big Island is one key person who helps build community. So it's working with people in their various communities on the neighbor islands as well as here on Oahu mm-hmm. to go beyond the plans on the shelf. And let's thoughtfully accomplish many of the good things, and using energy just as an example, that need to be done.
What are some other challenges that you foresee, you know, in the 21st century? Okay. We've finished the first decade of the 21st century already, you know.
Take homelessness, you know, shopping carts with blue tarps out on King Street, all over. Unfortunately, this isn't a Waianae issue or a Waimanalo issue. It's a statewide issue. One of the challenges we have is, what do we do? One opportunity we have here on Oahu, should the rail go through, and many of your viewers would say, rail. But if it were to go through, mm-hmm. can we create affordable housing, affordable rentals? Can we create single room occupancy, small units where people can store their clothes, store their personal belongings, but not have to meet the regular building code requirements of a studio with a parking stall and on and on? So there are opportunities to look beyond Hawaii and work together to solutions that solve critical problems such as homelessness.
Senator, we have a caller. Let's bring the caller. Welcome to our show.
Hi.
You're here with Senator Norman Sakamoto.
This is so exciting. Yes, well, Senator, I live in Haleiwa, and right now we're facing what is called a school consolidation, and which would mean for Haleiwa Elementary possibly closing down. And since I just wanted to ask you if you had anything you could say to me that would help us fight this, because it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to negotiate through the BOE or figure out how to deal with hearings, or even read the paperwork that's published on our budgetary situation we're facing.
I'm fortunate to know a little bit of the situation in Haleiwa, but I don't know. You're there. You're on the ground with the parents, teacher, staff there.
Right.
This would be my response. When I heard of the problem, I saw an opportunity. Haleiwa, Sunset, Waialua. Mm-hmm. Waialua High is so good at robotics, hands-on applied learning. I believe if instead of it continuing to be Waialua High and Middle, if one of the campuses can be turned into a applied learning middle school mm-hmm. to do robotics, perhaps science, tech, agriculture, aquaculture, applied learning, then some of the students can be put on that middle school campus, turn Waialua High School into an applied learning high school,
right.
using robotics, using aquaculture, using applied learning for agriculture,
mm-hmm.
Then get the Hawaiian community component, OHA, Kamehameha schools,
mm-hmm.
the ag community to say they'll bring additional resources to make it work.
Right, so, but that wouldn't solve, see, that won't save the 140-year-old school of Haleiwa Elementary because we're an elementary school, so we're kindergarten through sixth grade.
Okay, weren't they going to keep one elementary school and close the other?
But we're a small community, and we don't have any options. Haleiwa itself, the mm-hmm. people who live in Haleiwa, mm-hmm. the children of Haleiwa,
mm-hmm.
we don't have the opportunity to take our kids or let our children go to another school in Haleiwa. We're not like other communities like Wailupe. They closed down the Wailupe school. But the people there, the people who live in that community, can choose three or four different schools to take their children to. Here in Haleiwa, for the K through sixth grade, we don't have that option, and we're not involved. We send our children to the high school eventually, but our actual little school needs to stay open for our children in our community, and that's what we're that's the thing we're fighting for.
How many students at your school?
They've been telling us we need 400 children to keep our doors open. Our enrollment fluctuates between 179 to 185, but we're given district exemptions to Sunset Elementary and Waialua Elementary all the time.
Well, maybe I can continue more detailed.
Yeah, I'd appreciate
offline
that.
And you can email my office.
I think you need to know more about our community school.
Okay.
And Senator, hey, Christy, hang on, but Senator, how could she get in contact with you or anybody else that's listening that, you know, would like to voice their concerns?
I love your show, Danny. I do.
Thanks, Christy. Thanks.
And the BOE, you know, it's so funny. You look at these 12 people on the BOE. Some of them grew up in Hawaii, but they left Hawaii. They're California educated. They worked for Raytheon. The people that are actually on the BOE are a mystery to me. I don't think any of those people have ever been to our school in Haleiwa, and they will be the people who will actually vote whether our school will stay open or be closed.
Senator, let Christy know how she can.
Well, Christy, the phone number for our Senate office is 586-8585, and they can give you our email address and. Let's have this.
586-8585.
Yeah.
Christy, okay?
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for calling.
And thank you for taking my call.
God bless you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. You know, Senator, when you hear someone calling and they call with such passion, you know, and it comes from deep within.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just sitting here and I'm looking at, when I look at you, I'm looking at someone who, you embrace that. You know, you some people, they don't like problems. They don't like to make hard decisions, but you embrace that. And there's a certain, like I said at the beginning, you know, you're someone who's, there's something needs to be done. Well, let's get on and do it. People are facing challenges of many kinds today.
Yes.
You know, what would you say to someone? I often give my guests an opportunity to share. But what would you say to someone right now who's just facing an unbearable challenge?
I've been fortunate that when I have an unbearable challenge, I have my wife to lean on. Got other godly men. We have a small group that we can share in private with each other. I think it's important if you, specifically a listener out there, or know of someone, have someone they can confide in and at least for me, it would be, if you are a man, not necessarily find a woman you can confide in, mm-hmm. but another man, so you don't get caught up into going down the wrong road. And ask them to support you in prayer. And some people can support in financial means and other means, but mm-hmm. it wouldn't be begging for that help, but yeah. asking for understanding. And in my life, many times you're focused on one thing, but when other people can look at the same problem, they can at least bring us at ease in saying, firstly, understand. And secondly, offer opportunities for help.
Mm-hmm. Well, take that to heart. Take that to heart from a caring senator who knows what it is to live life in the trenches. And for Christy, I'm going to send you a book. It's one of my books called Discover the Champion in You. I know many people have been encouraged by it. I'm going to send that over to you. We appreciate callers because, you know, we always want to know that we can be in touch, that there's a connection going on. And that's why communicating via Facebook, going to our website, thegoodlifehawaii.org, is very important to us. And of course, calling like you did today. Senator, you know, any parting shots that you want to give to us in relation to what we can look forward to as we lead up to what, September 18th?
September 18th is the primary election.
September 18th, there's... tell us.
I would ask people to look thoughtfully at how do we build a better Hawaii? Who are the players that can work best together? Join the community, whether it's Hawaiian issues, environmental issues, not in my backyard issues, fix the school issues. We need people who can bring people together. We need the community to help. This isn't government's problem. All of us are shareholders in our schools. All of us are shareholders in the potholes. There are problems as citizens and as residents of Hawaii. If we can thoughtfully build community versus being critical of other parts of the community, we will be the Hawaii that our children, our grandchildren, will just say, Daddy, Grandpa, Mama, Grandma, Hawaii is a great place, isn't it? We can see that. I see that.
Yeah. Senator, I see that in your eyes, and we can feel it in the tone, the urgency, the care, the nurture, but also the expediency in wanting to elicit the best in people and bring forth the bright and brighter future for our great state of Hawaii. Senator Sakamoto, I appreciate you being here as our special guest. Thank you very much.
God bless you, Danny. Thank you.
I always like to remind our dear listeners, in the next few weeks and days, you're going to be hearing stories like these. So I say invite someone to listen in so that they can be inspired like you. Visit us, thegoodlifehawaii.org. Scripture for today, Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past, for behold, I'll do something new. Now it springs forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to our special guest, Senator Norman Sakamoto. Until tomorrow, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my technical producer, Leah Rodriguez, my co-host, Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
You have been listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro, along with co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva. We hope you have enjoyed our show and that you have been inspired by our featured guests and their stories of God's hand in their lives. Be sure to join us next week for more stories of hope in a time of crisis. Invite a friend to listen. There's no better time than today to unleash your God-given potential. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries. A division of Jesus Christ is calling you. Just leave it.